From Isaiah chapter 7, verses 1 to 18. The reading can be found on page 691 in the Church Bibles, or page 1227 in the large print version. When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son, Shear Jashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool, on the road to the washerman's field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smouldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, and the son of Remaliah. Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah, let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves, and make the son of Tabeel king over it. Yet this is what the Sovereign Lord says. It will not take place, it will not happen, for the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David, it is not enough to try the patience of men. Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrongs and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrongs and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. The Lord will bring on you and your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Amy. I want to say that when I read that passage on Monday, I thought, why on earth did I agree to speak on various bits of Isaiah these next few weeks? And perhaps you looked and thought, goodness me, what's that all about? Well, it is a hard passage to understand, so I think it'd really help if you open the Pew Bibles on page 691, Isaiah 7. But I'm going to pray we might understand something and that God would speak to us. Lord, your word says that if we don't stand firm in our faith, we won't stand. We know that one day we will stand before you. So help us to be ready to think about where our attention, our focus is. For Christ's sake. Amen. Friends, war is terrifying. It's terrifying for the combatants, as some here know, who fought in action. It's also terrible for civilians, the fear and panic evoked, the brutalization we see on our televisions, for instance, in Samaria, day after day. This chapter from Isaiah is a time of impending war. There was fear and there was panic. The Assyrians had just mopped up in the east, and now they'd further imperial ambitions in the West. Assyria was the superpower of the day. They were an aggressive military power with staggering expansionist plans. There's two nations, Aram, which is Syria, and Israel or Ephraim, the northern kingdom. And their near neighbour, Judah, was also there. And they wanted to form an alliance of smaller nations to face up to the Assyrian threat. But Judah wouldn't do that. And so Syria and Israel decided to take matters into their own hands. There were armies massing on the border, and they planned, therefore, verse 6, to tear Judah apart and install their own puppet king who might go along with their policy and join their alliance. Friends, these were scary times. The Assyrian threat on the horizon, and now these two neighbours about to invade. So verse 2, there's Ahaz, and we're told the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken. They were scared useless. Where could they turn to for help? Where could they place their trust? Where do you put your trust? Where will these two children put their trust in the years ahead? In the context of Isaiah, it was trust God or trust Assyria. Do we look to the Lord or do we look to the world for security? It's a question the Bible asks of each of us. We're not threatened by war at the moment in this country, but we all crave security. And we lack it, let's be honest, to a degree. What are the threats to your security? Perhaps money, perhaps your health, perhaps relationships, perhaps that painful reality of death and our mortality. We are all confronted by these questions. So where are we to place our trust? In the world or in God's word, his promise? What are you building your life on? Is it what God has said? Is it on Christ? Now, many of us have put our trust in Christ, but still we find ourselves hedging our bets. There's two signs in this chapter. The first sign is a sign refused, verses 1 to 12. The second sign is a sign given, verse 13 onwards. Let me explain. First, a sign refused. Ahaz, verse 3, is king of Judah. He's inspecting the city's water sources. That may seem a strange thing to be doing. In a time of siege, the water supply was vital. It was critical. They couldn't hold out for more than a few days without water. And at that time, all Jerusalem's water came in by aqueducts, which meant it was particularly vulnerable if it was under siege. And I guess Ahaz, as he inspected, must have found his fears coming home to lodge. He must have thought, my position is a lost cause. On his own, he couldn't stand up to the Syrian and Israelite armies. He was doomed. His only hope, it seemed, was to look to Assyria, the big power, for protection. It's a bit like a mouse asking a cat to help against another mouse. That's the ridiculous side of it. It's a risky strategy to think that only the cat could win. It would be costly, a costly alliance, if they did it. They need to accept the Assyrian gods and submit to them and deny their own god. And the whole book of Kings is about them chasing after false gods of Assyria. And the last person Ahaz wanted to see was Isaiah the prophet. But Isaiah is told to go and to take his son, a man called Shear-Jashub, a boy called Shear-Jashub. And the footnote tells us that name meant a remnant will return. There are some extraordinary names people give to their children. I did a little Google yesterday. How about this, the top 10? Frank Zappa's child is called Moon unit. Charlene Spiteri, hers is Misty Kid. Michael Hutchins and Paula Yates, Heavenly, Hirani, Tiger, Lily. And so we could go on. How about Frank Zappa, called his child Dweezil? Strange names, but this boy of Isaiah's was not given the name he's given for novelty. No, it had a meaning. It's part of the message Isaiah had for his contemporaries. And the question is, will Ahaz trust the promise? Only a remnant will return. Is he going to line up with this faithful remnant, or will he look elsewhere? And friends, we are doomed if we look elsewhere other than God. And Isaiah wants to encourage Ahaz to believe. He says, verse 4, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid of these two smouldering lumps of firewood. See, these kings are nothing. And he says literally, be careful, do nothing. Because rescue comes by trust in God, not by anything we do ourselves. Our political maneuverings are useless. God reigns. Well, security lies not in the world, but in God's promise. What a hard choice for Ahaz. Does he listen to Isaiah, or does he listen to his advisors? But God is gracious to Ahaz, and verse 11 offers him a sign. And he says this, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. And he declines it. It sounds rather pious as he turns it down. But his mind's already made up. He's treating God like a performing animal. Is it worth thinking he can just give him a sugar lump and go on his own way? Ahaz thinks Assyria offers greater security than the Lord. A sign is refused by Ahaz. But second, a sign is given, verses 13 and 14. Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be a child, will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. There's a change in verse 11 to 14. First of all, God speaks about your God. And then Isaiah goes on, proclaiming God's word, and says, my God, because the message given, the sign given, is very different depending on which side of a line you stand on. It cuts two ways. And Ahaz has ignored the offer of God, is now on the wrong side of the line. May 1940, Germany invaded France. The French watched the tanks rumble in through their streets. And after a little while, the Vichy government was set up. The true French government under Charles de Gaulle moved to London. During the occupation, some of the French collaborated. Looking at Germany's might, which looked so impressive, it seemed to them sensible to throw their lot in with the Nazis. But other Frenchmen were loyal to de Gaulle. Imagine de Gaulle sending radio messages to France, saying, I'm coming, I've not deserted you, I will return, I've not forgotten you. And that word brought hope to the faithful Frenchmen, but must have been a threat to the collaborators with the Nazis. The sign speaks of God's coming presence. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. That name speaks of hope and of judgment. And at Christmas time, you think about Matthew's fulfillment and the hope given in that child who is Emmanuel. But also there's a dark side to hope. There's a threat as well. The name speaks the sign of hope and judgment. Verse 16, but before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. In a few years, in less time than it takes for a child to grow up, Syria and Israel, we're told, will be no more. And 3 years later, Syria was destroyed. 12 years later, Israel was wiped out and carried into exile. And the truth was vindicated. God's word was proved true. Verse 17, Ahaz had thought he was calling on Assyria, but it's God who calls the tune. Ahaz thought he was hiring the Assyrians to help him out, but God says, I'm the one who works out my purposes, and you can't escape them. And of course, he says, the Assyrians will bring my judgment to you. What a terrible picture later on of shaving. It's actually very graphic in Hebrew, literally shaving people's bodies totally of all body hair. It's a terrible picture, a mark of captivity, of humiliation, of disgrace. And there's mention of curds and honey in verse 22. That's not the food of prosperity and abundance. It's a picture of a land devastated. It's depopulated. There's no tilled land. And there's briars and thorns. And the honey and the curds are there, just left. For 30 years' time, Ahaz experienced judgment. Today is Advent Sunday. Hard passage, I know. Today is Advent Sunday. It's about hope. Hope in Christ's return and judgment as well. But that verse is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. Verse 14, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. It is the virgin, not a virgin, suggesting somebody known and specific is in mind. Perhaps a prophet's wife or a king's wife, some have thought. But the way Isaiah uses the word virgin, in most of his prophecy, it's used of Jerusalem as a place. And therefore, this son is going to bring about the new people of God. He's forming a faithful remnant who will gather around the prophet, around God's word, and trust him. The faithful are not immune from troubles, but he will be called God with us, not with Ahaz, but God with those who trust. And through all judgment that came, they'd be protected and preserved. You then go on to Isaiah 9, familiar verses, about how this opened up. We're told there that to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. At the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. He will reign on David's throne, establishing and upholding it from that time on and forever. This is a child whose birth we celebrate in a month's time, who came to restore everything. Matthew says this was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We live after that, friends. And of course, Matthew's gospel ends, I'll be with you to the end of the age. And the Lord Jesus, born of a virgin, was born to take God's judgment on himself. So that means he is Emmanuel, God with us. He protects us from God's judgment and brings us salvation. And yet if we ignore him, we will be destroyed. Isaiah says this, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One, says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. in quietness and trust is your strength. Are we trusting in the promise of God as the faithful did in Isaiah's day? Because as C.S. Lewis of Narnia fame put it, in the end, that face, which is the delight and terror of the universe, must be turned upon each of us, either conferring glory inexpressible or inflicting shame that can never be cured or disguised. Amen.